this. Hopefully that coffee's better. You okay with that? It's hot.
Anything's better.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Debbie?
That's your cue.
Is
Debbie.
That me first? I'm sitting in Glency today. I'm Debbie Wax, and I'm coming at you from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm coming at you from the same place. And right. You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 7th, episode 1868, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Ooh, and away we go.
You have to forgive us, Jen, because we just got the coffee done.
Literally.
Literally. Running up the stairs with our hot cups. We haven't even got to have a sip yet.
I got a little sniff, and that was it.
That was
I
it.
Get it.
That's
I get it.
Not enough. It's not enough in the morning. And especially it's hard to get up this early. I mean, you have to get up about 4:30 to get down here. And
Thank you for your patience. And first
I'm
thanking
you, Debbie, for coming in and being a part of it.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn. No. Happy to be here. It's so fun to be in studio, in closet, with you and both of us. And hi, Jen.
Hi. We need to take a survey because in the podcasting world, in the podcasting sphere, I think a pretty high percentage of podcasts are created in closets. It is the ultimate closet industry.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, I'm sitting in this big, beautiful office at Flag Is Up Farm, and Debbie is in a closet behind me.
I'm sitting in the storage room.
Because there's a little delay. You can't sit in here with me. You got to go somewhere.
No, usually I get to tease her and stare at her and make funny faces, but no, they locked me in the closet.
Yep. Today. This is where I am. You're stuck. So so we do appreciate you for joining us. And Jennifer, why don't you tell us what we're getting into today? Let's tell her what she's getting into.
Yeah, tell me what I got into today, Jen.
There we go. Coming up on today's Horse Lovers Wednesday edition, the Purina Mills Horse Health Report is going to feature the lowdown on equine Cushing's. And it is, in my opinion, the disease with the most acronyms. So be prepared. And then Jamie and Debbie are going to give us a ringside look at what's going on over there at Flag Is Up Farms. And tighten your earbuds, because we've got another hair-raising chapter of the opium equation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Woohoo! Now, does Glenn take first position on these daily winnies? Because I've got one.
When you look at the show notes, anything that's in blue is him. This how you behind the scenes we're both looking at an outline.
No, I don't
of
have
the show.
Blue says Glenn starts recorder.
Oh, scroll down.
You need
scroll
to drive
down
a little further. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Debbie Laux.
Oh my god.
I get it. Okay. So my day. Yeah. So we've got opener bump music. That's in blue. No, we don't go there. Okay. So my daily Winnie today is for a Hong Kongese. Isn't that funny? I don't know if people know the story of Pakistan Star, but there is this amazingly talented horse over in Hong Kong who runs like heck to the middle of the race and then stops. And then he kind of realizes he's stopped. Yeah, it's not really good for those big purses. He's a group one. Then he decides, oh my gosh, everybody's leaving me. And he ends up winning the race. Sometimes he won at least two of them so far, and then found himself promptly banned from the racetrack because it's a little disconcerting.
It's kind of dangerous, too. A horse takes the lead, and then they stop, and then everybody has to go around him, and then he catches up and passes everybody. Are you serious? That's a thing?
Yeah.
That horse was doing that?
That's the thing. He was balking. Okay. And so here's why it's a daily winny, because yesterday he won a trial race, and he is one step closer to being able to come back. Now, if he can come back, he may be one of the winningest horses that Hong Kong has seen in a long time, because he's already won, let's see my currency convert over here, 1.6 million euro in the two races. The two races that he won, plus he came in second in a few of them. And then he was banned. And everybody went, you know, could be the greatest horse ever, could be worth $3,000. So $30 million, actually. And that, or 3,000. So Pakistan star, but he's got to like root for him. Oh, and Google his owner, Kern Diem, D-I-M, who is, he actually was, I think he's Korean and moved to Hong Kong with nothing. He's one of those guys that did, you know, I think he started like a cleaning business or something crazy like that. And this horse now has won, you know, 1.6 million Amazing. Euro. This is a really cool. It's a cool story. So they flew Dad over there. Here's my part of it. They flew Monty Roberts over there to Hong Kong to see what's going on with this Bakker, right? And he said, no, you guys, you're trying to beat it out of him when he gets there. When he gets to that spot, he doesn't want to freak out. You got to make him, you know, relax and then finish the race. So here's what I love. Here's the jockey. His name is Joe Moreira, and he's a tiny little guy, as they will be. And he said, I gave him some love. That's the way they have been working with him. And it worked again today, Moreira told the South China Morning Post. I was just gentle and he did everything perfectly. Duh.
So wait a second. So your dad goes over there and helps Pakistani star quit balking. He's balking, and they were basically whipping the crap out of this horse. So your dad just got them to just like pet him and scratch his neck, and then
he did work over the training barn to show him that he can, you know, he can get through these spots. So they did some work in December. So they flew him over there. This nice owner flew him over there and said, "What's going on?" And Dad said, "Well, I did a mind meld with him." No, he did not.
He whispered.
He watched, to see how this horse was, he's a sensitive horse. He's brilliant. He's talented. And he was scared. That little spot there, he got ahead and he just was like, and freaking out. And then, you know, it was reinforced when they beat on him a little bit when he stopped. And so he was like, well, I guess if I'm going to take it, I'll just take it standing still rather than race. So it's actually going to be a cool story, I think.
So he's come along and he's getting better. Oh, I love a happy ending.
That's a happy Winnie, huh?
Yeah. You know what? If they're not going to do something you want them to do, if you think that just whipping them is going to work, think again. People listening to the show know that. Okay. Let's move it. Next Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to My Daily Winnie goes out to the Olympians that are currently in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Have you heard... I'm laughing because it's like uncomfortable. Okay. Have you heard what's going on? 86 people, 86 Olympians have come down with vomit symptoms, illness symptoms. If you look at USA Today, the title of the article is "Number of People with Vomit Illness Symptoms Grows at the 2018 Olympic Games." The Korean CDC has confirmed 80-something cases of people having the norovirus. And so they're like, it's vomiting, diarrhea, like it's just complete outbreak of this horrible disease. And these poor Olympians have been training their whole lives for this moment. Yeah. Oh, and they're all so sick. So poor little thing. 1,200 people have been quarantined.
Because that's the whole island, isn't it?
I can't. 1,200 workers in the security force have had to be replaced with 900 military people. They're trying to hopefully get the military to not get it. They're supplying free water bottles, and they've turned off the public water fountain in the press center area because they're not sure why everybody's getting sick, and it's this big confusion. And they've got 1,200 people quarantined. Oh my! Where did they go?
Yeah, where do they put?
Where do you put 12 of this? I say anyway, poor Olympians. Train your whole life for this, and then you get out there. So
yeah, and the organizers imagine all this work for like what 12 years ahead, don't they? They know these things so far ahead.
Like I've thrown up before, and it makes a big mess. Like when you just like throw up. It's a
multiply
big mess.
Multiply that one.
Multiply that by like 1,300 people in a small space. Oh my God.
Oh gosh. So that's your daily Winnie?
To all the people who are sick, I hope they get better. Or no, it should be the people who are not sick. Here's
okay,
to hanging on.
Congratulations. Don't drink the water.
Exactly. Don't drink the water. Don't play in the fountains. Don't shake hands with anybody. Keep your head down. Put one of those
away from
masks
the quarantine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Jennifer, I think, is working on getting our first guest. I don't seem to have the chat up. Jennifer, is that the case? If she doesn't answer, she is getting it. And I'm excited to talk to this guest because it's about Cushing's disease. And as you guys know, my dear, sweet angel of a horse, Chili, who is Lucas's little horse, big horse, big 15 hand paint, is a Cushingoid horse. And you know, we're spending all this money keeping him sound and keeping him happy and keeping his joints and everything, doing the Adequan and all these different things. And now he's got Cushing's disease. So I had to pick between Cushing's medicine and joint supplements. I couldn't afford all of it. So I had to choose, and I chose to keep his organs functioning. So we're going to do a little bit more on Cushing's here in just a second. I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about what my horse is going through. But first, this week's health segment is brought to you by Purina Mills, greatness never ages. So help your senior horses live their best lives with Purina Equine Senior Horse Feed. It has Active Age, proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. To learn more, visit purinamills.com/equine senior. And we have our guest on the line this morning. Good morning, Dr. Burke.
Oh, sorry. User error.
Hi, Dr. Burke. Thank you. Sorry about that. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Where are we? You're in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, about 25 miles outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay. And is this right? The Fun Run Equine Center?
Fox Run Equine Center.
Fox. I knew it wasn't Fun Run. I was like, that has to be a misprint in my notes here. I'm like, I
unfortunately,
like it.
Most of my clients don't find it fun when they have to visit me.
No, absolutely not. The Fox Run Equine Center in Apollo, Pennsylvania. Okay, gotcha. Well, we're going to talk to you a little bit about Cushing's disease. So I guess kind of give everybody the Reader's Digest version of what Cushing's disease is.
So Cushing's disease, strictly speaking, is a human disease. It was originally described by Dr. Harvey Cushing in 1932, and it involved the pituitary and the hypothalamus. But what we know now is that it involves a different part of the pituitary gland in a horse. It doesn't involve the same part, and we don't get all of the same things that happen. Although it is similar, it's not the same things. For instance, horses don't really have problems with the adrenal gland, whereas people and dogs do get problems with the adrenal gland based on the pituitary. So the pituitary gland sits underneath the brain. It's not really part of the brain exactly, but it sits underneath the brain. And it gets some input from the hypothalamus above it. And what happens is the hypothalamus, over time, loses its ability to produce dopamine. And dopamine is what controls the hypothalamus and makes it do what it's supposed to. So when you lose that control, you get all kinds of interesting things that happen.
Wait. What is it supposed to do?
Well, so it is supposed to help keep everything in regulation.
Okay.
Our growth, our metabolism, et cetera. It's kind of the control center for all the glands throughout the body.
Okay.
If you will. So without it, we don't do well.
That starts to malfunction. Okay. So you think what? Sorry.
That starts to malfunction. But we think that it actually starts in much younger animals. So typically we see the disease show up in teenagers or so. But we think it probably starts much younger, probably from free radicals that damage the hypothalamus over time. And so it's a gradual onset of symptoms, and most people don't even realize it's happening. When I talk to somebody, they'll say, oh, yeah, well, his coat's always looked that way since he was two. Probably not. But it just is so insidious, it makes you think that. It's very easy to think that. So I encourage people to take pictures of their horse, at least on an annual basis, and compare. What did they look like? So we get a whole bunch of things that get released. And yeah, there are all these acronyms, which I won't go into on the radio. But the biggest thing is that we end up with clinical signs of these older horses. They are hirsute, so they have a long, curly coat about 85% of the time. Because of that, they actually sweat a lot. They may or may not have an increased appetite. Probably 70% of the time they're drinking and urination is increased. They don't perform as well. They're quieter, more lethargic, depressed than they used to be. And their belly begins to sag. They get this pot belly kind of sway back appearance because of muscle loss due to the disease. And then the fat distribution changes. So they get fat in the crest of the neck, at the tail head, in the sheath, and these supraorbital fat pads above the eyes. And then we get to chronic infections, skin infections, pneumonia, cystitis, can be anywhere. So they get over one infection, they get another infection. Their immune system just isn't working right because of all these things running around. And the worst thing is laminitis, founder. So their feet begin to hurt. They don't walk well. They sit back on their haunches. And it becomes a real chore just for them to move around the stall. And, you know, we begin to suspect this and we start to see some of these clinical signs. And they may not have all of them, but they will have at least some of them. But we see those and we see laminitis and we don't have another explanation for it. So we say, well, let's test them for some endocrine diseases and see what's going on. And the biggest one people think about, of course, is Cushing's. The other one is metabolic syndrome, equine metabolic syndrome.
Okay, so those are two different things.
They are two different things.
So is the Cushing's disease is a slow, like a slow rolling kind of thing, like you, one thing and then another, or do you just all of a sudden get hit with all of these things all at once?
No, it's generally an insidious response. So it's a disease, I guess I should say. It's an insidious disease coming on over a number of years. So we think it probably starts maybe even before they're 10 years old.
Wow.
But we don't typically see signs in ones that age. I have seen it in a two-year-old, and I have heard of it being diagnosed in a six-month-old, but those are like way outside the bell curve.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So what I was saying before the show, before you came on, is that I have a horse that has Cushing's, and we kind of, my vet kind of started to notice it because I called her. I'm like, listen, this horse is urinating in his stall five times as much as every other horse. And everybody else's stall gets dry at the end of the day. He's drinking more, or I don't know what's going on. And so we started to do some kind of figuring out, and it's like, oh, wait, yeah, he does have a lot of extra hair, and he does have that pot belly, and he does have, you know, he's kind of depressed, and he is incredibly hungry all the time. You know, I mean, most horses are, you know, they nicker for the feed, but like he vacuums up the hay. He's done with his hay 10 times faster than anybody else. It makes me feel like I'm not feeding him enough, you know? So all of these things are going on, and I'm just kind of, you know, so the treatment, talk to us about treatment for this disease.
So treatment is, a lot of it is based on husbandry. So if we know we get all these diseases, we want to do things to try and prevent them from getting laminitis. We want to do things to try to prevent them from getting subsolar abscesses and chronic infections. So just keeping them healthy by deworming, because they're more susceptible to parasites. We want to deworm them. We want to keep them vaccinated for all the respiratory disorders and things that they can get. So a lot of it comes down to trying to prevent all of these bad things from happening in the first place, but most of them end up on a drug called Pergolide. And Pergolide used to be on the market for people, but they took it off due to some cardiac problems. But now we have it back, fortunately, as an equine-specific drug, and they don't seem to get those problems. They don't get the cardiac problems that people get, so that's great that they don't. And the Pergolide we give is a pill every single day for the rest of their life. And what it does is it returns that function of dopamine from the hypothalamus that they don't have and makes pituitary gland return to some kind of normalcy. It may never be 100% normal, but it's much, much better. There are occasional horses that will get little inappetence from it or even a little colicky from it at first. And so we have to back off on the dose, and we start those, because typically it's a 1 milligram dose, we start those at maybe half a milligram. You know, once they get over the signs, we start them at maybe half a milligram and then gradually work them up to the 1 milligram dose. There are some horses that don't respond to 1 milligram and may need 2 or even 3 milligrams. And that's getting to be a lot. You can get some side effects, more severe side effects, like they simply won't eat ever. They colic from it.
Is diarrhea a symptom?
And diarrhea can happen, yes. Yeah, so, you know, we try not to let that Pergolide dose get up too high. There's a newer drug called cabergoline that's on the market, and it's a long-acting dopamine agonist. And for horses that don't respond well to Pergolide, which I have to say is pretty unusual, but does happen, we can consider that drug in use for those horses. And that may
and
help
what's
them.
That called?
Cabergoline.
Cabergoline. And is that like an injectable or is it a feed-through? And what's the price point on that? Because I know at this point, because we did the half a milligram on Chili for a while, and then we started noticing the urination started coming back pretty heavy and his stall was wet all the time. So we have now gone up to 1 milligram and he's good, but that's about $1 a day. So how does it average out with the other drug? I'm taking notes if you can't tell.
Should have anticipated that question. I really didn't. It's more expensive than Pergolide. I can say that. It's generally given by injection about once a week. But there are some oral formulations out there as well. But it is more expensive than Pergolide. So we try to stick with Pergolide whenever possible.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, he's eating a little pill. I mean, my gosh, you just take a handful of grain and with a pill on it and hand it to him. He just eats it right up. They don't even notice it's so tiny. So fantastic. This is great information. Now, give me like some sort of like positive news at the end of this, because I'm kind of feeling a little depressed right now, honestly. So
the good news is it's
okay. Go.
Yeah, it's perfectly manageable disease. You know, people come in here and they say, "Oh my God, it's a death sentence diagnosis." It isn't. Particularly once we treat it, once we know what's going on and we get it treated, we can get all of that infection under control. We can get their feet under control. I've seen ponies that come in here, they're just chronically laminitic, and nobody can get them under control. We figure out they've got Cushing's, we put them on Pergolide, and lo and behold, the laminitis systems finally resolve. You know, so that's the good news of it, is that we can control it for many, many years by these medications and by upping our husbandry, you know, keeping them clipped, keeping them well, keeping them vaccinated and dewormed, all of those things. And watching the grass, of course, too, particularly in the springtime with the lush grass, you know, then we know not to put them out on all that lush grass. We put a grazing muzzle on them, or we dry lot them, or whatever it takes to keep them from getting out there and redoing the laminitis in particular. So we, you know, no foot, no horse is a very true thing. So very manageable disease. I have many, many horses on pergolite, and they do wonderful. They can continue their showing careers, you know, take the kids around the property, go on a nice trail ride, any of that stuff.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, that's the good news that I needed at the end. Thank you, Dr. Burke. It's very manageable. He's not going to die tomorrow. Okay,
not going to die. Well, not for a long time.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Burke. Dr. Brian Burke of the Fox Run or Fun Run Equine Center in Pennsylvania. The phone number there is, I don't need to give out the number. What's your website?
FoxRunEquineCenter.com.
Fantastic. If you guys live in the area, call Dr. Burke. He's a wealth of information. Thank you very much, Dr. Burke, and we will look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
And remember, this health segment was brought to you by Purina Mills. If you're listening to this program, it's obvious that you love your horses. And let's be honest, bless his heart, Julie, our older horses hold a really special place in our hearts. And that's why we want to do everything we can to keep our old companions, I'm going to change that, our senior companions, around as long as possible and living their best lives. Well, our Purina friends at Purina get this. That's why they've developed Purina Equine Senior Horse Feed with ActiveAge, proprietary, I think Glenn wrote this to mess with me. ActiveAge, a proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. Because when it comes to our horses, greatness never ages. To learn more, visit purinamills.com/equine senior. And Debbie, I don't know if you've been privy to our new segment called, well, Jennifer, talk about it. What is this?
Yeah,
well,
advice.
We go from our horse health segment, which is great advice for horse people from experts, to this.
And now it's time for bad advice for horse people from horse people.
Thanks, Chad. So this comes from basically this is a segment where we take somebody goes online and says, my horse is doing ABC, and every single horse person in the world has a random XYZ of how to solve the ABC, which if you're asking online, just call your vet. But that's my advice. At the top of this, call your vet. Just ask your vet. So this comes from, of course, I think the biggest wealth of information for this entire segment is OTTB Connect.
Okay.
Have you ever been on OTTB Connect?
Oh, yeah.
Random
is right. That's
everybody
right.
Who owns a thoroughbred in the world goes on this page and they all talk to each other and it's fantastic. So this one was, with spring coming up, we're going to be getting back into the bathing season. And typically I use Vetrolan liniment to wipe down the herd after workouts. But with my herd plus client owned horses, I'm wondering if there's a cheaper alternative with the same good effects out there. Homemade even. Any suggestions? Okay. There's like 600 comments under this thing. It's ridiculous. But I had to pluck out a few of the gems. Glenn has told me I'm not allowed to read the names of the humans who made the comments. So,
disclaimer.
I'm always worried about getting sued. Yeah. This one, I make my own. It's wintergreen alcohol, witch hazel, menthol crystals, and water. Can I ask a question? Where does one buy menthol crystals?
Good point.
And this is not for those friendly and helpful listeners that think I want to buy menthol crystals. I don't actually need a link to the Amazon page for menthol crystals.
Don't share.
I appreciate when you guys do. I'll say, like, I was like, what's the best deodorant the other day? And everybody sends me deodorants to use. I'm like, fantastic. That's good information. Don't need menthol crystals. All I know is that it used to be in those cigarettes that,
Oh, yeah.
Menthol cigarettes.
You have to open all those cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. Open them up and like pluck out the menthol crystals. Again, don't need menthol crystals, people. Thanks. Another answer came from, okay. Now remember, she's asked for things that are cheaper than
right.
Vetrolin, which is like the cheapest liniment on the market.
That's true.
I make a homemade liniment with, and wait for it, because it's in every herbal answer ever, with coconut oil.
Yeah.
Aloe vera, essential oils. And somebody wrote, what essential oils? I use peppermint, copaiba, nalor, pennaway, and lemongrass. I don't even know what those are.
I'm wearing gloves for this segment here. I don't know. It's just, I can smell it from here.
Don't touch anything. You'll get vomit. And then somebody underneath, she came back in. She said, just remember that coconut oil is solid at 70 degrees.
There you go.
The next one, this sounds a little caustic to me. We use plain Listerine. Bathe, rinse, Listerine, scrape.
Yikes, my skin's tingling. Ew.
Yeah. I think at least rinse it all. I don't know. I mean, that's a racetrack thing, I think, to use Listerine. We make liniment by using apple cider vinegar.
Nice. Perfect.
What does apple cider vinegar do for your deep aching muscles? Does it actually?
Nothing. It's okay. Nothing.
Another one was, all right. I need you guys to take a deep breath and breathe in the clean air that's around you. Because in just a second, you're not going to be able to smell anything but this. Listerine. Plain Listerine, that's the brown Listerine, 50-50 with white vinegar.
Ooh, right.
Who would pet their horse after that?
That's like eating a gob of wasabi just happened right there.
Exactly. Another one is, they wrote, we use blue Listerine. And somebody under that wrote, doesn't that make them sticky? When I spill it on the counter, it makes my counter sticky. Started to think about, you coat your horse in blue Listerine, you put them in their stall, and they lay down and roll. They look like a giant marshmallow after that, rolling in the shavings. Another one was, we use doTERRA Deep Blue and coconut oil.
There you go again.
What is doTERRA really, Deep Blue?
I don't know. No idea. Do you think they really do this? Are people making this stuff as they go on there?
Like, I don't know.
I gotta throw something up here. I'm going to add mine.
If you want to really get your horse's muscles feeling better, you use this combination of Listerine, apple cider vinegar, white vinegar, witch hazel, and water. Oh, God. Another one was, we use full strength wintergreen alcohol. Ooh. But don't wrap your horse after it.
Yeah. Cooking them.
And then finally, the best piece of advice that I've heard, and again, I am going to hear from listeners that you guys do this, and that is fantastic if it works for you. I just think that I'm just enjoying reading people's suggestions, and I enjoy reading them on the air. And I think my favorite one so far, and please, for the love of God, do not try this at home, because the next piece of advice was, we use Pine Sol.
No.
Oh.
No.
What?
You back away from the horse.
Put your horse
put
in
the lead down and back away from my horse.
Oh, yeah, no. God. That can't be good.
That had to be autocorrect. That cannot be real.
Yeah, that's
somebody
right.
Somebody underneath it goes, oh, we used to use Pine Sol too.
No,
it was confirmed.
Confirmed it. Somebody confirmed it.
Let me tell you something.
You scared the dog. Yeah.
If you walk up to your horse with like some alcohol and you're like, I'm going to cool it down. That's very common to use alcohol to like kind of cool your horse down, but you rinse it off. Like I'll do an alcohol wrap on their legs. And then the next morning you rinse it off. You do not slather your horse in Pine Sol. You must be crazy. I can't even imagine. And you know what? here's the deal. Send me your emails if you want to argue with me. Jamie@horseradionetwork.com. You bring it on. I want to hear why the hell you do it. Floor cleaner on your horse.
Floor cleaner. Yeah, that's it. But how do they get it close to the horse? I think I'd be hearing a lot of snorting and
Okay, moving on. It's time for a horse lover's ad, Jennifer. I gotta go clean myself with Pine-Sol. Now you know I had to do that topic.
there's a horse. There we go.
We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today and save.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, before we get to our song, which is what we're supposed to be doing next today, I have a secret caller that called in to chat with us a little bit.
Oh my God. Are you going to tell me this person puts Pine-Sol on their horse?
Well, let's ask him. Glenn, do you put Pine-Sol on your horse?
Hi, Glenn. Can you imagine me putting Pine-Sol on Scooter? He'd run away. I would never see him again.
He'd be like, I'm going to show you a really close up view of my back hooves.
That's right.
Glenn won't mention this, but Pine-Sol is pretty much Glenn's least favorite scent in the universe.
Oh, I hate when Jennifer uses it in the house for anything. It's just awful.
Oh, get rid of
that. And then you get the rag. If she puts the rags in the washer, all your clothes come out smelling like Pine-Sol.
It's apparently a good liniment for your skin, Glenn. It's probably what gives you Lyme's disease.
Maybe.
probably what it is. Well, hi, guys. I just wanted to check in and encourage everybody to go take a listen. We put out an episode of Horses in the Morning last night. Emily and I, yesterday afternoon, got to head out to McLean Ward's farm in Wellington. And it was so cool. When we got there, our horse had just arrived that he was supposed to ride for an eventer. And we got to watch him ride the horse, and it was this huge gray horse. And by the way, all the horses at his farm are huge. They were on the cross. There was one that had to be 18 hands that was on the cross ties. And Emily was like, mine are not that big.
They got to be really big to get over those super high jumps.
They got a ways to go. Yeah.
Well, it was amazing watching him do the schooling on that horse. And it started out at maybe, 3 foot, 3 foot, and then went to 4 foot, and then it seemed like 12 foot. to me that he was jumping, and the horse was huge, but didn't hit a rail, just
amazing.
And he'd never ridden the horse before. Never. The first time on the horse, just take him around, bump, 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 done. So that was kind of cool. But we got to spend, almost an hour there, and we hope that you enjoy the interview. It was a lot of fun. We talked about his childhood. We talked about Sapphire. We talked about Rothschild, the Olympics, WEGS. We talked about the state of show jumping today and his opinion on that and where he thinks it's going to go in the future and what needs to change.
He also talked about
his family.
Did she geek out? Was she drooling? Like, was she twitching?
That was funny.
What happened?
The first day we went over twice and he got tied up the horse show the first day. Well, we got to see Azure, his big horse right now, was just in the barn, and Emily's like, that's Azure. And everybody had left the aisle at that point. His wife had walked out with this cute little girl, and she's like, here's my camera, take a picture quick. So we got a picture quick. She was so geeking out. She was like a teenage girl the whole time we were there. It was funny. But for her, she rides all of these horses all day, but not that level of horse, not the 5-star horse.
Nobody does.
So for her,
level,
meeting,
yeah,
right, true. But she was geeking out over all the 5-star horses there and just touching them. It was kind of cute, actually.
Now, did you put it up online? I have to ask you a quick question. Did you put the link up on the Horses in the Morning website, webpage, and all that, like for people to click on?
Yes.
To listen to. Okay. I want you to act like a girl and go look at that photo again, because I'm sure when somebody took that picture, they took probably 10, you know, you always take more than one to make sure it came out okay. And it is a great picture of you. You're standing there looking very dapper. Emily looks amazing. And McLean Ward has his eyes closed.
Well, you know what? There were all the pictures. There were two pictures, and he had his eyes closed both. So I don't know what happened.
Are you
there.
Serious?
No. And we almost, as usual, we go walking. We're done. We put our equipment away. We did it right in the barn. We're putting our equipment away, and we almost forget to take a picture, period. Like, we always almost forget to take a picture, which is just crazy. We're good social marketers.
You have to go back.
But yeah.
You have to go back now and get a better one.
So it was fun. He was a good sport about it all. Yeah. So go take a listen. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, fun.
I will definitely. Yeah,
that's all I got. We're heading out to Orlando now to PodFest, and I'm getting my presentation ready to stand in front of 1,000 people.
You got your hat?
Good luck.
Got your cowboy hat?
Yeah, I got all my hats. I'm good. I have my confidence builder. I'm good.
Yeah, that's right.
So have fun, everybody.
Thanks. Thanks for stopping in.
All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Until then. Yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
Bye. Good luck.
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, I still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl some days. What is it? What is it with girls? I dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those gentle eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Girls and horses.
Well, if you are new to the show, that is Templeton Thompson and Girls and Horses. It's kind of our theme song, especially when Glenn's not here and it's all girls talking about horses because That's how we roll. And we play that when Glenn's not here. So you can find all her music at templetonthompson.com. So I'm here co-hosting with Debbie Laux. And our show today is brought to you by horselovers.com. That's horselovers with a Z.com. And it's a very dangerous place to go, but you should totally go there because they always have great deals on what to shop for you and your horse. Now, I am here at Flag Is Up Farms, and Debbie is in the other room. And thank you for joining me today while Glenn is going off to PodFest, some sort of other podcasting. How many podcasting conferences a year are there? I'm starting to really think that he's making this stuff up.
Your mic, you know, he does Debbie. Do that a lot now, doesn't he?
Tell Debbie, turn her mic back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps. Either that or I have to yell really loud over to you.
It's
thank
crazy.
You. I was singing to Templeton live. Thompson, so you didn't want to hear that. Yeah. No, so yeah. It's gone a lot. You're right. I gotta up my game here if I have to sub a little bit here. But no, yeah. So Jennifer, do you like do you just run around the house in your underwear and play while he's gone? Or what do you do? No,
he's
I guess
Tom
not.
Tom Cruise. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Slides across the floor. The dogs go crazy. No. So, yeah, Flag Is Up Farms. I am so proud of Jamie.
Hold on. Did you notice that Jennifer would not answer the question about running around the house naked?
She just giggled a little bit. Yeah.
I will say this, though. I do turn off the heat. So the house is super cold, which is what I like. This time of year, at least. And yeah, I open the windows and I do not vacuum the floor. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
True horse girl.
Gosh, that's just crazy. Yeah.
I put horse laundry in the washing machine in the house.
With Pine Sol.
Yes. Yeah.
I know. With Pine Sol.
Well, I want to give another Daily Winnie to Jamie because everybody knows why she's here, right? Jen, do you know why she's here?
She's there to become a Monty Roberts certified trainer.
She's here for exams. Let's not jump the gun. By her exams here first. No, it's really fun. There's just some super. What do you? You got somebody from Sweden. You got Denise Heinlein, who's the head instructor from Germany. You got a gal from Poland who moved to Uruguay, right?
She's from Germany that moved to Uruguay.
Okay.
And then there's a Swiss girl who moved to Canada.
Okay. I'm confused. I lost my map now. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got two Swiss interns, right? Are they Swedish interns? And then and then the girl from Uruguay and Poland.
Bilingual.
Yeah, there's here. So many languages going on here.
I know, it's really cool. It's really cool. But what's one language that you all speak?
Yes, Equus. The language of Equus. That is true.
Yeah, but you can say English. That would like spoil it.
They all do speak
Yeah,
English.
They all speak the horse's language. They're all, I mean, you guys are all like young and having fun. Imagine this. This is your exams. You get to come on a farm and play with horses and gentle them, but it's hard work.
Debbie, let me make a correction here. Let's correct you. So there's a girl in my class in this advanced course of exams who's 18. She's really? Flipping 18. The wow. other girl taking the exams is 22. Yeah. And so you're like, you're all young. I'm 40.
You don't have to say it. Hey, compared to Monty, who's 83, you guys are all chicks. You're just all right. Little. Yeah.
I'm a spring chicken. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Monty's here and he's kind of walking around and makes everybody, you know, be on their best behavior. And I think a lot of the exams, the prep that we're doing, it's really amazing. So on Monday, I put the first touch, like the first human hand on three separate horses. So all of these horses came in and were trying to sort out whether they're, you know, gentled. Can you touch them or can you not touch them? And so far, all of them are no. All of them are like, oh my God.
So tell, I mean, do you know the backgrounds of these horses? I know they came from a rescue situation, but can you kind of figure out what the story is on them?
Yeah. So, they came from, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but they came from where Precious Magic Gal Jennings did.
There you go.
So they, okay. we could be handling relatives of her. And, you know, honestly, her confirmation, as challenging as it is actually better than most of these. So I think a lot of these are young. There's one that looks about 18 months. You know, he can't really lift his teeth up. I did get to check the teeth of one and it was 5 years old. So they're all fairly young and they're all very small and most are mares. There's one gelding. But I remember when I came in the spring, it was all stallions, but because they hadn't been gelded yet. So this is a situation that it was a rescue turned hoarder kind of situation, a sanctuary turned hoarder kind of situation. And the population got out of control. So now they've sent people in to manage and start to control. So a lot of the horses that are out that have been born and that are feral, basically like magic was, is now they're kind of filtering them through here so they can get gentled and go back and get adopted. And it is so cool to be riding Precious Magic Elf Jennings around the farm.
That is amazing. Was it last summer? When you hear gentling?
End of April.
End of April. Okay. And here is, she puts Denise up on, you're riding Precious around, or sorry, Magic. I'm still on Precious last summer.
Right? Everybody calls her Precious here.
she was Precious here. But but it is Magic because she is just a different horse. It's, I mean, not only is she healthy, you've just got her looking beautiful. So good job on husbandry here too. But also she's just soft eyed. She's just not wild anymore. It's just so cool to see you guys partnered up and riding out in the big arena. And it's amazing.
Maybe. And we took her around the racetrack yesterday, and I don't think I could have ever imagined that seeing her trotting around the racetrack last year, you know, because she was just such a mess. And I think, you know, in 10 months or 9 months, the amount of learning that she's done, and really in about 7 months, because she was so kind of sickly when I brought her home, I didn't really do much with her when we first got her except try to get her healthy. So I'm absolutely incredibly proud of how much she's done. And we rode her by the pins, and Denise was riding her. We rode her by the pins where all the new recruits are. Yeah. And she's like, Denise is like, do you remember? And it was like, hey guys, this could be you.
That's right.
So it was really neat to kind of be a part of that and to watch her journey and to look back at her brothers and sisters that are kind of coming up. So
this is what you got to do to be really a great breakthrough horseman. I mean, we've seen, and we're not going to mention names here, but we've seen real Olympians that, you know, can't do the groundwork like you guys do. I mean, I'm just giving you props here because it's not, you know, it's not something that everybody gets a chance to do, to start an untouched horse and all the way through. They, you know, that's usually turned over to trainers and it's kind of done, you know, by a small group of people in the United States, really. And what you guys are doing is taking on every step, which is so cool because that means there's really no, there's, it's all in a glass house, you know, everything is happy making. The horses are brought up through they're certainly challenged. I mean, it's a challenge to take a wild horse 18 months or older that's never been touched. You know, that's not like our domestic setting. Usually those foals are started to be handled and everything. These not handled at all. And to take it in a short amount of time. How old is she now, Magic?
She'll probably be four this summer.
There you go. She's a four-year-old who's got a late start in life, but already has caught up with a lot of four-year-olds. A lot of people start their horses at three and four. So it's amazing.
It's really cool. And I'm happy to be here. I do want to say that, you know, you don't have to be in the advanced course or an advanced student to learn how to gentle wild horses if you're interested, or at least be just being a part of it or watching Monty work. You know, they have the gentling pins here, and there's usually a course in the summer, the gentling wild horses course, which you can come to. And also Monty's special training is unbelievable.
You've done both of those at least once.
Right. I've done both of them a few times. So yeah, it's because it's just so incredible to watch. I mean, I spend my vacation, my summer vacation here, watching this, because watching Monty work with a wild horse or you being a part of it is really amazing. So I do a little plug for the courses here. But there's something coming up that I wanted to make mention of, Debbie, that you won't talk about unless I make you. And tell me what's, the big deal.
The movement. Yeah. So for years, you know, we've had people from all these different walks of life say, you know what, I use the join up concepts, this some people call it advance and retreat, but most people call it choice based training, you know, just as we do with horses. And we kind of understand it in our world. But it's so cool when you hear somebody who's like, working with veterans and horses as a therapeutic up in Canada somewhere, they go, you know what? We can, if you substitute the word horse for veteran, we say the same thing. Or if you substitute the word horse for an addictive client, you know, a guy with addiction therapy and all that stuff, then we're kind of doing the same thing. Well, we're bringing in May 23 and 24, we're bringing about, there'll be at least a half a dozen right now, and people are still asking to become a presenter here. For 2 days, we're going to have demonstrations and speakers and presenters, but it's from all, you know, the certified instructors are coming to demonstrate their skills with the horses, ones that have gone further than Jamie have. So their skills around a horse are unbelievable. And I see them all over the world, and I see top trainers all over the world. And I can say that the timing that you learn, you know, as becoming a certified instructor is, that's the magic. That's the secret sauce, is the timing. And they're really good at that. So the presenters will be speaking and using their industry to say, this is what it's like to work with, you know, a child, an at-risk youth. This is what it's like to work with a veteran. So there's this cross-pollination we have. And we're calling it the movement because what we hope to do is present to people pathways to take home and take into their world. I don't care if it's a mom raising her kids, a teacher who goes back to the classroom with the concepts, but I basically describe this as a 2-day journey to discover the unique power of horses that teach us, you know, to be present. These are things that Jen and I talk about on Horsemanship Radio too, about being present, to learn trust between you, all nonviolent forms of leadership, of course, and basically to help humans and horses live happier lives. That's a big task. How's that sound?
It sounds amazing. It's going to be a big deal. So if you definitely have any interest, where can people find out more about this?
Yeah, you can go on our calendar page on the MontyRoberts.com, and you'll see there the May 23rd. It's 2 days, and it's a Wednesday and Thursday. It's a midweek thing, because then we go into our Horse Sense and Healing after that. And then that night, on Wednesday night, in between there, we have an awards dinner. So we have people, we have Janet Rose from the Equus International Film Festival. So it's part festival, too. So it's not just learning, it's also kind of fun. And she's going to be screening one of the winners of the Equus International Film Festival, about horses. And we also have some people that are coming to demonstrate their horse mastery and art. So we have a photographer, Catherine Burke from Canada, who's coming down. She puts these big photographs that she does of beautiful Percherons and everything on wood and on metal. And so it's just a real three-ring circus of everything about the horse and all the good parts.
That's awesome. Oh, that sounds so fun.
MontyRoberts.com. Yeah. Thanks.
MontyRoberts.com is where you can check out the movement. It sounds like the podcast movement. So this is an actual thing that people should go to.
This Instead really is a movement.
Podcasting conferences a year. Jennifer, at some point, do you say, Glenn, there cannot be another podcasting conference?
You know, yeah. The first time he tells me that there's going to be one in Bali, I'll know he's.
And you'll be like, I get to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to take
Carrie picking that one. Yeah.
I'm the producer, for God's sake. I'm going
to
go.
You know, there's a podcasting conference in Aachen next year, and it just happens to be at the same time. Yeah.
The Equitana? Yeah. That would be fun. I'm just worried he's going to ask you to put on a podcast conference, Jen. Say no. Back away.
Just say no. No more projects. You have enough. Okay. Well, anything else that we need to cover before we get to the book, ladies? Is there anything else you want to discuss before we get into chapter, 112 of Opium Equation?
Are you 112 now?
No.
I got to give Kara, thanks for letting me be here today.
So just so you know, I forgot the book, but Lisa emailed me the book. And so, I'm on chapter 19, but it's very tiny print and I had to screenshot it to get, to be able to like quickly go from page to page. So it's very small. And at the end of each page, I'm going to have to like zip, swipe right, you know, or swipe left to get to the next page. So just bear with me if I get a little bit stumbly during it. You guys are very sweet.
I've heard the last sentence already and I can't wait.
Do you know people have said that they're reading it and they hear it in my voice or in Lisa's voice?
Oh, in Lisa's voice too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Well, I hope there's not too many Southern accents in this one because I haven't been able to highlight anything. So we'll just give it a go. Debbie, thank you so much for joining me and getting down here nice and early and hanging out with Jen and I.
That's always fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully.
Hit the button.
I'm trying.
You got it.
The Opium
Equation is the first of the Cat Enright mystery series written by Lisa Wysocki. It features Cat Enright, a Tennessee Appaloosa horse trainer, Darcy Whitcomb, teenager with a trust fund, Bubba Henley, a budding juvenile delinquent, and John Gardner, a mysterious barn manager. And of course, there's Sally Blue. Thank you to the publisher Cool Titles for allowing us to read this book. If you want to read ahead, all four books in the series are available in stores and online everywhere or at lisawysocki.com.
Chapter 19. After the scene with Frog, Darcy didn't feel up to driving, so I told her I'd have John pick her up in the morning and bring her to her car, which we left at Verna May's. I knew full well that offering John services without asking him would give him one more reason to hate me. Sigh. We grabbed burgers at a nearby Wendy's and took I-40 back to Nashville. No matter what the problem, life always looks better after eating a cheeseburger. Despite the underlying threat of violence during the encounter, I believed Frog's story. I believed he saw Bubba on Monday at noon exactly where he said he saw him, going through the fence towards Fairbanks. That put Bubba very close to Glenda at what could have been near to the time she was killed. Maybe Carol was right. Maybe Bubba had seen something that scared him. Even worse, an ill-intended person may have seen Bubba. That person may have even taken Bubba and was now hiding him. I dreaded thinking of the alternative, which was infinitely more awful, but it all came back to why. Glenda had been killed for a reason, and when I figured out the reason, I would find the killer. And with luck, the killer would know what happened to Bubba and would lead me to where Bubba was. Maybe. I took the 440 bypass around Hillsboro Road and into Green Hills. I turned right just south of the shopping area, and after a mile or so of left and right turns, pulled into a long paved driveway that led to a faux antebellum house somewhat along the lines of Fairbanks. I knew from past trips to Darcy's that no weed would ever dare poke its head up from the deeply mulched bushes along the drive. Wide stone paths connected the house to a few smaller outbuildings, and I could see what was going to be the gazebo and a tool shed from the glowing light of precisely spaced electric decorator lamps along the walkway. Mason was once again out of town, and Darcy asked if I wanted to come in. Realizing she must be shaken from the nasty encounter with Frog, I agreed. As we neared the house, a huge Doberman got up from a mat on the porch and snarled. When Darcy said, "Hush!" Kino recognized her voice, and his vicious snarl immediately changed to yelps of joy as he ferociously wagged his stumpy rear end. We both gave the ancient guard dog lavish pats as we opened the door. These days, his hearing was much better than his sight. Inside, the elegant home was spotless, no thanks to Darcy. Mason always hired good help. We smelled apples and cinnamon, and Darcy made a beeline for the kitchen. There was a large pan of apple crisp cooling on the counter beside the oven, doubtless the courtesy of Mason's latest cook. Yum. Even though I just downed a cheeseburger, I was still hungry. It was stress, I was sure of it. Maybe that's why cops are never too far from big fat donuts. All the carbs must keep the stress at bay. Darcy started assembling forks, plates, and napkins while I heated cocoa in the microwave. We plopped down on a pair of rocking chairs in front of an antique but working wood stove, our plates balanced on our knees, our drink mugs resting comfortably on the stone floor. There was not a word said between us until both plates and cups were empty and the cups newly refilled. All in all, an interesting evening, I began, lightly rubbing the heel of my scraped hand, which had begun to itch. Not quite the evening I had in mind, but interesting all the same. When there was no response from Darcy, I added, "Mind if I ask you about your getup?" Darcy had not explained her sudden interest in high fashion. Very possibly, that was because she'd had other thoughts in her mind, like how to get rid of a slimy, violent jerk. "Oh, this," Darcy giggled and smoothed her skirt. "Daddy thinks I should dress more ladylike and had a bunch of this stuff sent over from that frou-frou shop Glenda goes, went to in Belmead. Daddy and I got in a big fight because before he left, I had the stuff like since before Christmas and he found out the price tags were still on every piece. I just wanted to be able to tell him, you know, when he called that I actually wore some of it. If," she added quietly, "he calls." "Listen, Darce, why don't you come home with me? Spend the night and wake up early with a ride on Petey." "No, but thanks, really. I've got a major history test tomorrow. Besides, I've got a 10 o'clock date tonight with my Greek god." "Like, that must be what, 4 a.m. over there?" "And oh," she squealed, her melancholy forgotten. "Like, I totally forgot to tell you what I found for you on the internet. It's too cool." Darcy had indeed come up with a few things, like Carol, that were too cool. For starters, she found roughly the same information on the opium equation that Robert had. It all still added up to laudanum. And then she found an old newspaper article from a historical archive that linked Colonel Sam with large shipments of agricultural items from China during the 1860s. There was also a second article that linked the old man to bootlegging during the Civil War. "I don't know about all the China stuff," I said, "but the bootlegging is interesting. I wonder if that's what he was smuggling during the war. I don't know anything about what laws were back then, alcohol manufacturing and sale in the 1860s. I imagine they were a lot different from what laws are today. Do you think we could find out anything about that?" Darcy said she was sure that she could, and with her words, I realized I was exhausted. All I wanted to do was go home. With Hank performing security duty, maybe I could make my own kitchen seem as safe and cozy as this one. I walked to the front door reluctantly. "You're not afraid Frog or anyone else will bother you tonight, are you?" "Oh, Cat, no. Like, I was really rattled when I got to Verna Mays tonight because of that Deputy Giles pulled me out of class at school today. That creepy Robert Griggs told him I yelled at Glenda and he wanted to ask me about it." "Well, what did you tell him?" "Exactly what I said to Glenda, that I called her a bitch and that I hope she'd die a thousand deaths." In spite of Darcy's bravado, big fat tears welled in her eyes and began to roll down her cheeks. "I didn't kill her, Kat. Really, I didn't. I was so mad at her for being mean to you right then that I wanted to, but it's not a thing I'd ever, like, really do." "Of course I knew that, but did Deputy Giles?" "Then, like, there was that scene at Verna Mays," she continued, snuffing and wiping her eyes. "But Daddy has made sure that this place is secured tighter than Fort Knox. There's Kino and Ruby, you know, the cook, has rooms over the garage. I'm cool with everything. I didn't, like, invite him, you know, Frog. I got there early and he was just, like, there. Like, he recognized me or was impressed with the clothes." She giggled. "It was a good sign. Maybe Daddy isn't so old and dumb after all. These clothes, they might just be useful sometimes. I'll have to look at the others more closely." Darcy gave me a hug and reassured me again that she would be fine, but I still worried about her on the way home. She was too young to face much responsibility alone. I hope she was up to it. River Road was shrouded with patchy fog. I carefully threaded my way through an S-shaped curve roughly 2 miles from the county line and accelerated slightly as I hit the straight run that would lead me home. It was at the tail end of the spooky stretch of the road. A few miles back, just to the right, was an Indian burial ground that was estimated to be about 9,000 years old. When Walmart was trying to build their new store here, many Native Americans held protests on the site as part of burial ground was going to have to be relocated. They tied cloths of the four colors, red, yellow, black, and white, to trees along the roadside to represent the four directions that their native beliefs and held regular 24-hour vigils. Many Native people believe the spirit stays near the body and that it would be wrong to relocate the burial ground. And who's to say they're not right? The powers that be in Nashville eventually decreed that the remains were so old they preceded the modern tribes such as Creek and Cherokee. And because no direct descendant could be found, there would be no problem in relocating the burial ground and putting a Walmart in its place. I boycotted the store for a while. But I'm weak and Walmart is convenient. Nevertheless, that stretch of road on certain nights to me seems very ominous. I saw the lights of the oncoming car and the bulky object in the road at the same time. On this stretch of highway, there's no shoulder. To my right was a deep, swampy ditch To my left was one lane with the car approaching fast, and further left beyond that was a wall of rock. Straight ahead was, well, something. I slammed on my brakes before I had time to think about it. The back end of the truck veered violently to the right, and I corrected it with a sharp right swing to the steering wheel. But not before the truck collided with whatever was in the road and ground to a screeching, shuddering halt.